that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
And you know what? That old wheel has rolled around again. It's Saturday morning, December 10th, and it's time for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. Got all the Wranglers here around the Radio Ranch microphone. Got the ramrod with us. Got coffee poured. Got our Bibles. I think we're ready. We hope you'll join us for coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. We'll be right back.
Gonna roll around once more when it does.
And when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play a ball for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, that will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And if you can believe it, it has. Like we said at the beginning, rolled around once again. It is Saturday morning, and we are here with our coffee. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning, man.
And that's where we're at. Coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. It's already the 10th day of December, Saturday morning. A little overcast. Might have a little snow today here at the Radio Ranch, but that's all right. That's how it goes. It is that time of the year. But it is coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And what is coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers? Well, we're the Wranglers, and we're drinking coffee, and where we go from there, who knows? Who knows? But, Kyle, would you open us up in prayer this morning, and we'll go from there.
Okay. Oh, God, my Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, and we thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you for your Son who died on the cross for us. And we thank you for this opportunity to come to the listening audience out there, and we ask for your guidance, your Holy Spirit guidance. We ask for this to be enjoyable, as the coffee with the Wranglers is supposed to be. We come to you in the blessed holy name of your Son, for without him, none of this would be possible. And we thank you again, Lord, for the boss, Pastor Peters, that set this whole thing up and built this ministry for 30-plus years, Lord. And again, it's a privilege for all of us to be a part of this.
Amen.
Again, we ask it in your blessed name, name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Well, guys, I'll start off, share a little something with you. Got to see the pastor last night in my dreams. Had a dream last night that Kyle and I walk in, and there's the pastor and Jason, of course, and they're at a gun show down in Mexico.
Well, it sounds true so far.
And
I don't know about in Mexico.
I know. How can we control our dreams? But they were sitting there eating on a couple of big steaks, and it was at a gun show, and looking at guns and eating steak. But it was then in Mexico. Figured that one out. Kyle and I had to drive all the way down there to see them. But
I would.
Yeah. Yeah. But that was, that was not bad, you know. And I'm sure not one to interpret dreams or to say this means this or this means that. But, you know, I think that it was a comfort to me. It was good to see him.
Yeah.
You know, and it was a comfort to me. And I think that I know God's done that in the past. And anyway, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I know where the Christians go. I know where our pastor is. So, anyway,
amen.
How are things down on the Colorado end of the spectrum, gentlemen?
Kind of cold down here. Overcast. We might get some snow, too. Who knows? But that's all right. I like the snow, actually. Makes it white and clean. This dark world that we live in, it's kind of pretty.
Yeah, I've noticed that. We were talking last Sunday going to church. We had a good snow and on the ground. You know, it doesn't matter how ugly the landscape is outside. It can be just an overgrazed pasture. It can be a stand of woods that have been either burned out or just died out and just nothing but sticks. Doesn't matter what it is, how filthy, how ugly that side of the road is. When it's covered with that beautiful white snow, it's just, you know, and the snow is sparkling and the sun is shining on it, and it is just an absolute beauty. And we have to remember that, you know, that's exactly how we are before God, is we're that filthy landscape before we have Christ. We are that burned out pasture and we're just filthy before Him. But
amen.
When we read the Word and believe the Word and obey the Word and live the Word, and part of that includes getting baptized and being washed by the blood of Jesus Christ, then when He looks at us, He doesn't see that filth. But it's like, you know, looking out and seeing 6 or 8 inches of just beautiful fresh white snow on the landscape. And that's how He sees us, as washed in the blood of His Son.
Well, a lot of people get off and they think that it ends there, that once they're baptized, that you know, that's the end of the story. Then they're clean and they don't have to worry about it. That's only the beginning. That's only part of it. And that's where a lot of people miss it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's a way of life. And once you're baptized, yeah, there is a transformation and you do become white as snow, but that doesn't mean that snow can't become speckled and turn colors. You've got to continue on and take communion. We're all sinners. We all sin, and you got to continue to, you know, repent of your sins. But you got to change your way of life, and that's what a lot of people, you know, a lot of people think that, okay, I can get baptized and that's it. Everything will automatically change for me, and that's where they're wrong. It's a change of life and it's a transformation. But you're the one that's got to make the change. And you've got to flee sin. You've got to continue on that straight and narrow. And it's an everyday fight. And, you know, it's a fight that a lot of people lose. I mean, most of the people that do are baptized for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ. They fall away and turn the other way and, you know, don't continue on in that fight. And when you do that, you're blotted out of that Lamb's Book of Life. Lord takes that pen that you were written in that book with, and He just blots your name right out of it.
Yep, we're not playing church here.
No, not playing. This is the real thing. And you're right, Jason. You know, we don't get into all the words of, you know, a sanctimonious life and all the big fluffy words that some of these four-square gospels and Baptists and Pentecostals and stuff we'll talk about. We just say it right out of the Word and read it right out of the Word. And what Jason said is absolutely true. It is a daily fight of faith, a daily fight of faith. That's why you've heard us here at this ministry put out for you, and we encourage you and admonish you and challenge you to daily pray the Lord's Prayer. You know, not once a week, not when we gather on Sunday at church, but daily. And to daily pray on the full armor of God. How many times we hear the pastor say, you know, you'd hear him at lunchtime praying it on again. And sometimes in the evening. But it is a daily thing. And you get through one day, praise the Lord. You know, I came out of the driveway heading over this morning, and it's like, thank you, Lord, for one more day. And, you know, what are you going to do with this day? Are you going to just waste it, this day that the Lord has given us? Are you going to sing praises to Him? You know, I don't think He requires us to be on our knees all day long for Him. I don't think that's what He wants. But I think He does want acknowledgement. I think it is pleasing to Him when we can get up and say the Lord's Prayer and pray on the armor He gives us, because it strengthens us to get through the day, to get through the temptations that He knows are going to be there. But you're right, Jason. So many, they get baptized. And, you know, how many have come in and got baptized at the church? That's the last time you see them. Well, who did I lose, guys? Who do we still have?
I'm here.
Okay. I guess John's having some phone issues down there, so we'll give him a minute. Maybe he got to charge his phone up. But we have had, you know, people come in and get baptized, and sometimes that's the last we've seen of them.
Well, if you want to read about it, just read about the parable of the sowers and the seed that's planted. You know, you got the ones that are planted on the wayside, and the ones in stony ground, and the ones that are amongst tares, and the tares choke them out, you know. And then you got the good seed, you know what I mean? So, you know, that basically is it. When, like Jason was saying, that's just the beginning when you get baptized. That's when you're planted, and a good prayer is that you be planted, you know, where you can grow in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, you know, in the knowledge of truth, you know, I mean, but not all the seeds are planted there, you know.
Oh, and that's when we talk about a remnant, you know, we're privileged to be able to speak and talk to the remnant, to a remnant who know who they are, but there's a remnant of a remnant, yeah. You know, the remnant's what we're out there to reach. We're not out there to reach the masses, but to encourage the remnant. And the remnant understands a lot of these things, and they're the ones that continue to press on. Just like the Gideon elite, you know, though weary, they pressed on. And that, woman in Proverbs 31, she smiled at the future. And those are the ones that press on, that continue to fight, not just the fight of faith, but the fight of everyday life, fleeing lust, turning away from sin. I mean, this is a dark world. There's sin everywhere. And, they're the ones that continue to thrive to, you know, live a sanctified life, a clean life. And when they don't, they repent and they go on and they try again.
Amen.
You know, It's interesting. A person goes through life, and there's always tests in life. And just as what I found is, if you fail a test that the Lord gives you, He'll give it to you again. And those tests, they keep coming. They keep coming time and time again. And sometimes a person just cringes when they fail one of those tests. And it's not that they failed it, but they know they're gonna have to take that test again.
Yeah,
and I've seen that many times with different people and observed it, and that's how we know that our Father, Heavenly Father, loves us, and He cares for us, because He wants us to pass these tests.
That's a good way of putting it. It absolutely is. Pastor did a little booklet called "Don't Miss Out." I'd like you to hear about that right now, and we'll be right back.
It got down to 11 men, huddled and hunkered down in a foxhole-like fashion in an upper room. So it is told in Acts chapter 1. 11 apostles and a world to win over to Jesus Christ the King. And what happened in a short span of time? The world was won over to Christianity. How is it done? One-on-one. One person told another the good news. The good news gospel. And God's gospel plan of salvation. Believe, repent, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins, and then you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It was one-on-one. And then that new one that was won over told another one. And soon the world was won. Why not make it your goal to win someone? To win someone over to Jesus Christ. Order our new booklet entitled, Don't Miss Out, and then hand it out to someone. Order more than one. How many? How many do you want to reach? Let us know and we'll send them to you, free. Then freely and even discreetly give them out. Order by writing to Scriptures for America, P.O. Box 766, La Porte, Colorado, 80535. Or go to our website, scripturesforamerica.org, to order. Do your part in 2010 and reach someone using this tool we are giving you. Order it now, today.
And you know, many people, we came out with that in 2010, and you know, many people have done that. Just what the announcer says, you know. Order one, order a lot. And we've had sometimes 20, 30, 40, 50 that we've sent out to people. And that's just what they've done, is pass that little booklet out. It just basically explains that you need to be baptized. You do have to believe, but you do need to be baptized. And we've seen it produce fruit. So it's just one of the tools that the pastor put together, that the Holy Spirit gave him, that he put together for the remnant. Maybe to be able to use to reach a family member or something along those lines. Well, I think we got John back. Good morning, John. Sorry we dropped your call.
Morning. Yeah, it keeps cutting out here now and then, so we'll see how it goes.
All right.
Yeah, you were talking about landscaping. Brought back a thought that, remember when I built my house in the mountains and the landscape was God's landscape, and had I been a multimillionaire, I couldn't have done a better job landscaping around that house, and people don't realize just how fortunate we are that God landscapes the earth for us, and what a beautiful setting that was. And some people say, "Hey, when you're putting in some landscaping," and I said, "Why would I?" So I don't know. That's just something that came to mind.
Yeah, I used to ask Pastor, we would talk, and it'd be like, what a wonderful God that we have. You know, He gave us color. You know, we look out here and the sun is just trying to peak up. And so, over on the one side, the sky's all half pink. And then over here, it's pink and fading into a nice blue. And, we've got the color of the mountains. Anybody ever think of, what if all we had was black and white? God could have done that. He didn't have to make this world in color. He could have made it in black and white. And how boring would that have been? But because He loves us, and because He wants what's best for His children, He gave us that beautiful landscaping that you talk about, John, in color, and praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hey, Jason, I have a question for you. I was in a little book and video store up in town, and I'm looking through the books. I was seeing what kind of Bibles and stuff they had in there, and I saw a pastor's book, Terrible Tears. Maybe I should ask Kyle. I was wondering who put those in there.
I put those in there quite some time ago, and just wanted to see if they'd sell.
Okay.
Haven't sold any.
I don't know. I saw them down there, and so do they have them on their computer and everything?
Yeah.
They took them off as a local book. That's great. Yeah, I saw it was just a couple, but they were right there. I mean, you walked by, and they were right there on the shelf.
Terrible Tears book, right?
Terrible Tears, yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah, they put them in there. I put them in there on consignment.
Okay.
Should put death penalty for homosexuals in there.
I don't think they carry that one.
No, they won't. They won't keep that one.
I was surprised they carried that one, but it was kind of interesting.
Well, what is going on in the news? I haven't even looked. I saw they had another shooting out at Virginia Tech, and that was about the only thing that I really saw this week.
Yeah, just one cop got shot, I guess. kind of strange.
You know, that's Jason was saying, you know, there's just so much sin in the land. And, you know, there's, I don't know, even collateral damage that just happens, you know, just because there's so much sin. Whether it's people getting sick or just like that, some random act of violence. But I guess the more you look at the news, you'd probably see that all over.
Yeah, it is interesting, though. We did have some good news down here in Boulder County. Probably the hippie capital of Colorado, but they did pass a bill or any, or I don't even know what it was, but they're phasing out all the genetically modified crops and on all the public lands, on all the government subsidized crops. They're going back to open pollinated corn. They're going back to non-genetically modified crops. And all of the open spaces, different areas around Boulder, and they're going strictly to sustainable farming practices, which is actually pretty encouraging for a whole county to be working on putting that together.
Yeah, that's
only
pretty
one.
Amazing.
It's the only one in the. It's the only county in Colorado that's working on it. And I think there's only two or three counties in the rest of the United States that are working on it, but they're working on it really good over in Germany and some of these other countries. They're really pushing to get rid of all the genetically modified stuff, that people are realizing the consequences of it, realizing that it wasn't tested, realizing that it's just poisoning the people, that it's harmful to the land, and that as time goes on, it just becomes worse and worse and worse. And a lot of these people are really figuring that out, and they're trying to correct it. So that's a praise the Lord. I remember when the pastor talked on, you know, saving the environment years ago, he talked about how, you know, God so loved the world, and we forget that God does love the world. You know, we think about him loving us as a people and sending his son for us, but we a lot of times don't forget. A lot of times we just take it really lightly how much he cares for the world and all that's in it. And when you're destroying it, that displeases him. And, you know, it's just... You know, encouraging to see that people that there's some places that people are, you know, taking measures to preserve it, you know, go back to the sustainable living. And that's pretty neat.
Yeah. You know, you think about it, you know, and God the Father being the creator he is, you know, and he created something beautiful like this, and he watches people, non-people, you know, his children, part of it, destroying what he created. You know, I mean, it's got to be disappointing. You know, I mean, just like any father, you know, if their children destroy something that they've helped create or whatever. I mean, it's just, you know, it's just got to be disappointing. The problem is you get all these people that turn truth, you know, the truth of God into a lie, seem to be the ones, you know, promoting the savior of the world, but yet, you know, they're as deep and dark and atheist as all get out, you know what I mean? But the fact of the matter is this world was created by God, and it is a beautiful thing, and it's too bad to see it destroyed like this.
Yeah, probably what really irritates them is when they call it Mother Nature.
Yeah.
You think that, Mrs. John? That really bothers them?
Yeah,
I think it does. I really think it does. You know, the Bible says the earth is the Lord's, and all that dwell therein. I'm sure it does.
I'm starting to understand more and more why Dad would stay away from the news. I mean, you get enough of it just from talking to people, but if you actually listen to the news, it's very, very discouraging, very disheartening, and especially for a prophet like Dad. I think
he used to call it his lab rat experiments, but dress all up and with his hat and his staff and go to the mall, and I'm sure he was just appalled at what he saw compared to what he saw 40 years ago. And I'm starting to kind of see that too. It gets depressing, so you got to hold on to the truth.
Yeah, it does. It was kind of interesting this week that they did. They had a Russian newsreader was on the news, and they had the camera on him, and they were talking about Barack Hussein Obama, and the news commentator reader, as soon as they were done talking about Obama, flipped the camera off, and on national television, and he was immediately fired after calls were made into the television station. I thought that was pretty funny, but it really shows you, you know, where people are thinking of Obama. You know, people are really, I remember when he got into office, I told people that, you know, if there are some people that aren't racist out there by the time he's done with his presidency, they're going to be racist. And of course, that doesn't go for everybody, but he has made a lot of racists in this country, that's for sure. And by the time he's done, he's going to make a lot more. But the, you know, you look at it, you look at what they're doing with this whole presidential campaign thing. He has the lowest approval rating of any president ever has. But there's still a good chance of him getting in for a second term.
Yeah, well, have you seen his opponents? I mean, they don't. The other side.
I never thought that they could make Obama
look
good after the first term. But I'll tell you what, it is amazing. It's got to be spellcasting. It's got to be.
Exactly.
It is spellcasting.
It, yeah.
It is. Spirit of deception.
Is going on across this land because somehow they're even making Obama look, well, I'm not saying they're making him look good, but they're making him not look as bad as they were.
Look good by comparison.
I guess.
But you notice he's nowhere near as eloquent as he was. He's stumbling for words. And
I know.
So
I wonder what the deal was. Maybe they had to have some budget cuts on some teleprompters or something.
Yeah, I think somebody's hacked into his teleprompters, what's happened.
Praise the Lord. But you know what? We reap what we sow as a nation, so nothing's going to change until we get the people crying out to God and asking for forgiveness. So,
crying out to God, and you know, and doing, and it's not just crying out to God, but it's that everyday walk in life.
Yeah,
you know, turn to Him, get in the Word, you know, repent as a people, cry out, but make the changes in your life too. You know, and sometime instead of picking up the television remote, pick up your Bible. You know, start reading these prophecies. Start, you know, trying to, you know, it's just, there's a lot of things a person can do. And a lot of people are, you know, just into the doom and the gloom, you know, oh, it's going to end, it's going to end, it's going to end. Well, yeah, it's going to end. Babylon's going to end. You know, but what are you going to do afterwards? You know, how are things going to be conducted in a godly society? And start thinking about kingdom thinking. You know, when all this Babylonian captivity crud is gone, what are we going to do? How are you going to conduct business? How are you going to conduct godly business? How are you going to conduct church business? How are you going to deal with your family in godly order? You know, these are the things that Christians should be thinking about, but don't. They want to fit in just to the everyday, modern-day, Judeo-Christian, or worldly outlook on life. And as Christians, we're called out. We're to be different. And right now, people just don't want to be different. They don't want to feel different. They don't want to look different. They don't want to act different.
I don't know, Jason. When I see people outside, they sure look different to me. But I think it's different than what you're talking about. But they sure look different today, you know, than they were. But you're right. We are called out. We're called to be a peculiar people. We're supposed to be. We're commanded, be ye separate. But the people don't know that because they haven't been taught about God in the schools. You know, we're in, I'd say, a full second generation now of God's promise. And he said, if you forget me, I'll forget your children. And I think we are right now in even a second generation of that, to where he's, as a people, not individually, but like you said, Jason, as a people. As a people, we need to repent because as a people, we have sinned greatly. But as a people, the people don't even know that these words in the Bible apply to them. That these Old Testament stories are their history and who they came from. And the enemies they had in the Old Testament are the enemies they have today.
Yep. It's like Dad taught us in this series that God gave us all the laws we needed in the Ten Commandments. It's man that's created all these other laws that contradict God's law. Yep.
Yeah. And that's one thing that we used to talk about is if the Babylonian system came crashing down tomorrow and you didn't have any of man's laws, nobody would be able to function because they don't know how to function without the laws.
Yeah.
They couldn't handle the freedom because they wouldn't know what to do with it.
Yeah. Well, it was just that way when Moses led the children of Israel out into the desert. You know, here they are, they're out of Babylon, so to speak. They're out of Egypt. God's provided for them. None of them were sick. He's healed them all. He's led them through the Red Sea. And what were they doing? Murmuring.
Yep.
You know, and complaining. At least we had graves in Egypt, they said. You know, we're going to die out here. And so they had so little faith. And you know what? Their words came true. They did die out there.
Yep. Nothing new under the sun.
The Arizona Department of Health Services wants to remind their parents to inject their newborn babies with neurologically damaging chemicals found in vaccines. And to aid their efforts, they just teamed up with guess who?
The Southern Poverty Law Center?
Hallmark Card Company. The new Hallmark cards read, "Bet you're proud as you can be of that new little branch on your family tree. One of the most important roles as a parent is to make sure your baby is immunized. Keep your little one healthy means starting immunizations by 2 months of age."
Holy cow.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it is.
Yep.
All that comes to mind is they are killers. That's what they do.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, I don't understand. They push this vaccine so hard all the time, and there's getting to be so much publicity on it. Do people ever stop and wonder what happened before these vaccines came around?
Well, if they ask a doctor, he'll say something like, well, have you ever heard of the plague in the 1500s? You know, and scare tactics like that. I know when we lived in South Carolina, and we had my son who's 13 now, and he spent some days in ICU and all that, so we... You know, they definitely wanted some checkups, so we complied with that. We went in and had some checkups and had a fairly good doctor, I guess. And he asked about that. He said, well, are you ready to start on the vaccination schedule? And I said, you know, doctor, we've chose not to do that. And he kind of stood there and he said, well, why? And I said, well, can you guarantee me that all those vaccines that you want to give my son, that none of them are going to harm him? And he said, well, you know, we have to weigh the factors. And he said, if you could see what I've seen, how bad these diseases can be and blah, blah, blah. I said, okay, so you can't guarantee me that they won't hurt him. I said, can you guarantee me that if he takes all these vaccines, that he won't get the diseases that they're for? And he kind of put that same look on his face. Well, he says, you know, again, we just have to weigh the factors. He said, you know, there's still a chance he might get the disease, but it'll be not a severe case. And I said,
yeah.
Well, if it's all the same with you, doctor, we still choose not to do that.
You really want to drive them crazy when they say, well, you're putting my son at risk. Then say, well, is your son immunized? And they say, yeah. Then what are you worried about?
Yeah.
Because
and see, that's the
if anyone's going to get sick, in your book, it would be my son.
Right.
That's logical thinking, though, and they don't.
I know, you did.
Absolutely, they don't. And, you know, every state except two has immunization waivers. Most states have them for medical. I think all states have them for medical purposes. I was looking at this on the internet the other day. Most states have immunization waivers for religious purposes. You just have to, you know, it's not something that the Department of Health in your state is going to advertise.
Yeah. Give them time. States don't, do you know?
You know, I don't. I was just reading it because, you know, we've been kind of doing something here with the state of Wyoming. And I was just reading it, but if you're out there and you want to know, if you send us an email or something, I'll be glad to send you the link that I had. And there's networks out there, National Immunization or Vaccine Awareness Network or something like that. I don't know. But
let's face it, even if there was a law, we ain't following it.
Yeah, that's the way it is, you know, and it comes down to, I'd like to tell some of these doctors, okay, you want to pump my child with a shot of heavy metal and see if it lives.
Yeah.
We go, if you want to play that game, that sounds kind of like roulette to me. I'll give you a shot of heavy metal, and we'll see if you live.
You got that right. And this is what it sounds like, you know?
Yep.
And you know, the Bible tells, and I think we do a fairly good job of following it. It says, if at all possible, be at peace with all men.
But there's a point
right.
When it's
it doesn't say
possible.
It doesn't say regardless.
Yeah.
You know? The Bible says, turn the other cheek. Well, I can turn the other cheek. I can do that once. And I've done what the Bible says to do. I've fulfilled the letter of the law, and I think the spirit of the law. And, you know, the world out there will come to realize that at some point in time.
Yeah, every day the net gets tighter, and won't be long before it's choose ye this day who you will serve. Because I don't know if you guys heard or not, but yesterday the Senate passed that bill that allows not only the military, but the Department of Justice to incarcerate you if you're suspected of being a terrorist without representation for any period of time.
They did pass
it. They passed it in the Senate, and they were saying how it absolutely cannot pass in the House. But, you know, that's the first step to the concentration camps, basically, to detainment.
That
camps,
sounds like
you know.
Things the way things used to be over in communist Russia.
It absolutely
where they
is.
Grab people in the middle of the night, throw them in the brig or whatever they concentration camps, whatever they called them over there. I don't know, but you know, and held them.
Yeah, but the good news is, once they get one or two of them, the rest of them they're going to get something else when they come to the door.
Yeah,
yeah.
But you know, that's what we're doing right now.
What
in
was
their,
that?
In their eyes, by preaching the truth, we are. We're sinning.
Potential terrorists, you know.
Yep.
Yeah. What was it? We had a sound bite a minute ago, and you know, you're right. The thing that they didn't hear when they came for them in Soviet Russia in the 30s, but
the
something
click.
That they might hear here.
Yeah, or a little louder with the slide.
Yeah.
That's just the beginning. That's just the beginning part of it.
Right.
Just don't follow through with the rest of that soundbite because
no,
you know,
I don't.
My headphones
I don't,
on.
I don't have the rest of the soundbite on the CD. So,
yeah.
But anyway, well,
it's quite an advantage when you're a Christian, though. The worst
is.
They can do is give you eternal life. Thank you, Lord.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know,
what are they gonna threaten me with? Dirt nap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know we're. December. Today's December 10th. 10 days from today, on December 17th, is the last 91st day for the calendar year of 2011.
So what day?
1 week from today, the 17th. So, if you're not familiar with that, the 91st days, you kind of look at it as a Sabbath between the seasons, because that's right there at the end of fall and the beginning of winter. And it is the last 91st day. It kind of falls on the Sabbath this year. They have. But we'd encourage you, listeners, to at least read the 91st Psalm on that 91st day. And it's next Saturday, starting at noon till Sunday at noon. And if you go to our website, scriptures4america.org, I believe the 91st day treaties and information is there. We've been sending some out here, been emailing some out. We're always getting new people that might not be familiar with it. But it's a step back to or a step forward, I should say, towards that kingdom thinking that was mentioned earlier in this broadcast. You know, in God's way, you get a vacation once a week. You get a day off. You know, you might work 6 days, but you sure get a day off every week. And then, you know, about every quarter, you get another day off. And then you got, you know, this weekly feast this time of the year and a weekly feast that time of the year. And it even puts, like, the Germans and whatnot to shame with the amount of vacation time that is there in God's plan. And so, anyway, these 91st days are just a step. They're not all-inclusive, but they are. It's ancient knowledge that has been revealed over the years. And I don't think you can go wrong with taking an extra day every 3 or 4 months and reading the Bible, praying to God, thanking Him, giving Him praise for all that He's done for us. And so that 91st day is a week from today. It's December 17th. And then that goes by the solar calendar. And so the rest, there'll be a solar year ending 91st day coming up in March of 2012 as well. And again, if you want some more information on that, you can go to our website, scriptures4america.org. You can take a look at it there. You can look on the Resource Center, the 91st Days Treaties. Kind of explains it out, gives a little background to it, if you're interested in that.
Yeah,
and that's coming up.
In accordance with what we've been teaching, to, as a bare minimum, read the proverb for the day. I read in Proverbs 10:9, "He who walks in integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will be found out. He who winks the eye causes trouble." That's interesting.
Yeah, it is. Thursday night on the radio, we encouraged everybody to do that. And that was on the 8th. We read Proverbs 8 and encouraged everybody. Let them know that we're kind of going over that in Sunday school at the LaPorte Church of Christ. Tried to get that out to everybody, again, encouraging them to do that, to read a Proverbs a day. And it's real easy. Today's the 10th. Read Proverbs 10.
Yep. Goes on to say, "And a babbling fool will be ruined." Praise the Lord.
Yeah, and these are, you know, like Jason was saying earlier, how are you going to, you know, if Babylon falls tomorrow, you know, how are you going to know how to act? Well, if you don't have wisdom, if you don't read the Word, if you don't read the most popular book in the entire world, the book that literally has changed the world, how are you going to know? You know, how are you going to know? You know, new husbands out there, new fathers, how do you know how to be a good, godly husband? How do you know how to be a good, godly father? You know, your own heart will deceive you. Our hearts deceive us. The Word tells us that. And so the way to know is to learn from the Word, to learn from the Book of Wisdom, and to read it, and then to apply it to your lives, to be doers of the Word and not hearers only.
Yeah, everybody knows the one-liners. You know, I mean, they even get perverted on the Jewish comedy networks, you know, that they'll pervert the Word of God on the one-liners. You know, like you brought up a while ago, turn the other cheek. Everybody's heard that. But
yep.
not hardly anybody's heard when Jesus Christ says, "Why do you strike me?" You know, I mean, it's like you said, I'll turn the other cheek once. You know, I remember when Pastor brought that out years ago. I don't remember what message it was, but, you know, he read that scripture, you know, where Jesus, you know, he got tired of, "Why do you strike me?" I mean, I don't think he, "Why do you strike me?" I mean, it wasn't gay. It was like, "Hey, all right," you know. So why aren't all the so-called Christians out there, you know, when they keep getting strict, you know, across the face or in the wallet or however they're getting, you know, their face slapped, you know, why don't they just stop and say, "Why do you strike me? You know, I'm tired of it." You know,
yeah.
At least make somebody be accountable, you know.
Yeah.
Amen.
Well, I got a little positive news this week. After 4 years of doing what our pastor told us to do, I was convicted 4 years ago, basically, of putting my money where my mouth is when it in regards to local Christian school here, and me and seven other men made a commitment that not only took our time, but took our riches, and the Lord delivered us after 2 years, and the school is in a better financial position than it's ever been in 40 years of history here in northern Colorado. So I just say, praise the Lord. It was all a battle of faith through the whole thing, and without the teachings of our pastor, which I taught the rest of the men, we never would have made it. So I'm grateful.
No, praise the Lord for that.
Yes. That is a good thing. That is,
yeah.
You know, and it should be an encouragement to the listeners out there that, you know, God is not slow in his promises. And he rewards those that are faithful to him.
Yep, amen. And Romans 8:28 works all things for good for those who love him, abide in him, and are called by his purpose.
Yes.
Well, I felt like I was called by his purpose for this particular venture, and although it looked bleak at times, still holding on to the promises, and the Lord delivered. So,
yeah. You know, that ties right back in what Kyle mentioned earlier about the parable of the sower. You know,
yeah.
If you don't sow seeds, you know, when we were an agricultural society, I mean, everybody understood, you know, that in the springtime, you had to get your seed in the ground. You know, if you lollygagged around or you let the cares of the world or whatever else come up and you didn't get your seed in the ground, you wouldn't eat. You wouldn't have a crop. You couldn't provide for your family. And, you know, we really need to look at it that way today. We need to be sowers. We need to be spreading those seeds. We played the little ad on Don't Miss Out. You know, there's a tool to help you spread some seeds around, the seeds of the gospel. And, you know, that thought occurred to me, John, that's exactly what this school is. You know, it's sowing those seeds of the gospel. It's giving those that will buy that oil of understanding and pay for it. It gives their children an opportunity to learn about Jesus Christ and to learn about the true history of this country and not the liberal left dumbing down that goes on in the public schools. And that's what that is. That's faith in the future. It's planting those seeds of Christianity in what is basically a lost generation.
Yeah. What's interesting is one of the girls who went to school with my daughter decided that she needed to go to public school to get more of the benefits of the electives and whatever. And she went over to this public high school after spending every year from kindergarten through her second year of high school, and realized that when she got there that she wasn't learning anything. And after the first semester, she tested out and is going to graduate in a year and a half early. So they must be doing a pretty good job teaching those kids.
Yep. Yeah, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. Well, we've got Newsletter 11 still on the presses. It's being printed. We just got some copies here to send out to the international, so we'll be getting those in the mail on Monday. And what do you think, Jason? Maybe about Wednesday these things will hit the post office?
Yeah, Wednesday or Thursday.
Yeah, good. And it's excellent newsletter. Jason had the main article in there, 70 years. And Jason, excellent article. Really puts it out. Talks about the 70-year anniversary that just occurred this past week of the day that will live in infamy by that old Jew. Anyway, about the bombing of Pearl Harbor and Japan declaring war on the United States and how and why we were led into that war. And so we'll have it up on the website this next week as well, as soon as we get it ready for the mail, and encourage you to read it. You know, we try to start off in this, Pastor Peters always did, and is from the editor's pen, and We just call that article from the staff, and we just try to do the same thing there to encourage you. You know, we hear all this, the bad news, because there is very little good news out there. The good news is the gospel, and anything other than that is really bad news. But, you know, in these days of Occupy Wall Street and all these other cities and stuff, you know, we encourage you not to participate, not to be discouraged by that, but to let the word occupy you. We start this newsletter out in Psalms 1:1-2, and that tells us how blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. And so we hope you take that as an encouragement, again, as an admonition to do that, to be in his word. If you don't have a good habit developed, we talked about that on Wednesday night prayer meeting a little bit, you know, use that reading a proverb a day to get you into a better habit. I think we prayed for a man that said he wanted to stop drinking and smoking and wanted to start reading his Bible. You know, he wanted to give up his bad habits and develop better habits. Well, take that first step. You know, read a proverb a day. Today's the 10th. Read Proverbs 10. Tomorrow's the 11th. When you join us for church, get your Bible out, and right before church, read Proverbs 11. And that'll be at least 2 days, 2 steps in the right direction. Jason, why don't you tell them, we've only got about 10 minutes left here, why don't you tell them how they can join us for church tomorrow?
You can go to scriptures4america.org, and if you got an iPhone, iPod, iPad, or if you come on a regular PC, we can stream live video to you. Top left-hand corner, there's a live streaming video button. You can click there to connect to the live stream. We also do offer it in live video or audio streaming as well. For a lot of people don't have high-speed internet. They have a dial-up, and technically some, if you got a decent dial-up connection, you can watch it, but some people just don't have that fast a connection, or they're connecting through an air card or something like that, and they want to just listen to the audio. You can listen to the audio there as well. We get started at with the service at 10 o'clock Mountain Time. So if you'd like to join us, scriptures4america.org is the place you go to see that. And we do have everything archived there as well at the site. As far as our Sunday video broadcast, you can visit the archives page. And a lot of people go to the archives page Sunday afternoon and download those archives. And even if with a slow internet connection, you can download those and view them on your computer as well.
Or listen to it on shortwave.
Or you can listen in on shortwave. Yeah, there's a lot of people that do that as well.
Yes, and those shortwave frequencies are 5755 and 9.480, and it's 24/7. You'll find us on one of those no matter what time you're listening in. And like Jason said, you can even listen on your iPhone, and that's been a real handy thing. We when we're broadcasting there, we try to monitor it on our iPhones as well, just to make sure that it's going out, and it is. And we thank the Lord for the faithful supporters that continue to support us with their tithes and offerings and donations. And that allows us to get this word, to be those sowers of the seed, to be able to put the gospel out, to share it with people. I got a phone call yesterday from Nigeria, and man had just heard that pastor had passed away, and he called, and in his halting English, expressed his sincere condolences and was praising Jesus, and said they hear us on the shortwave in Nigeria. And you know, to me, that gives me, encourages me, lets me know that we're on the right track. You know, that because of the faithful out there, we are able to put that word out, and it does not come back unfruitful. You know, that's just another seed. I think God told Abram that his seed was to be a blessing to the entire world. And I think when we can continue to put out the truths that the pastor taught, that those that hear it, no matter where they're at, if they're in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, or New York, New York, or Nigeria, that if they'll hear it and apply it, they will be blessed.
Amen.
Yeah, keep the shortwave station and the operators in your prayers, too. Such a mighty weapon against our enemy.
Well, how much time we got left now?
We got about 5 minutes. The phone rang, and Richard was going to see if that was somebody wanting to call in. And still in the
well,
air.
Kyle, you've been awful quiet today. What do you got to share with
well,
you?
Well, I've been kind of just sitting here listening to Radio Ranch Wranglers with you three. I don't know. It's just there's a lot going on as far as, you know, horrible things and stuff. But I think you brought it out earlier, Jason, and that is just getting the word. I mean, that's basically what... You know, I know that sounds simple, you know, but get into the Word, and that makes you want to talk about the Word. And so that makes you want to find somebody that's like-minded so you can talk about it, you know. And, you know, I know what the people are like that's out there. I was out there for a lot of years, and it's a mess when you can't find somebody to fellowship with. And I'm not talking about somebody to watch a football game with. I'm talking about somebody to fellowship the you know, about the Word with, and how important that is. And so it's been kind of interesting this morning listening to you three talk about the Word of God, and then that, you know, will provoke you into, you know, thought-provoking thoughts about the Word. You know, so anyway, I mean, I don't have a whole lot to say other than just get in the Word, stay in the Word, and find somebody to talk about the Word with. And that's basically what I got to say.
Yeah, I got a couple scriptures the Lord led me to here in Proverbs 21. Especially this time of year, he who shuts his ear to the cry of the poor will also cry himself and not be answered. And then 22:9, he who is generous will be blessed. All I can say is if the Lord blesses you, then bless someone less fortunate. Sometimes
Amen.
Just that little blessing you do can open the door to the truth. So,
Amen.
I know one thing. In 47 years, you cannot give God.
Amen. Earlier in Proverbs, it says, he who waters will be watered himself.
Yep.
So, absolutely. Well, everybody, we thank you for joining us. We're out of time. We'll go out with... one of the pastor's favorite songs, Snake Eye. Gentlemen, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
All righty.
Thanks for joining us.
Rolling, Snake
this country stolen, keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and free together, make them health and forever, knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake Highs. My heart's calculating. Our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out. Head them off. Head them off. Move them out. Move them out. Head them off, Snake High.
They're disapproving. Keep on moving over, Snake High. Don't try to understand them. Just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their Snake High. My heart's calculating. Barking will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.